Trader Cobb Crypto Podcast. This is the Trader Cobb Crypto Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Trader Cobb Crypto Show. Another great guest with us today with some different perspectives and viewpoints from a very scientific background. I'm really excited to have and looking forward to bringing to you Christopher Sheetha, who is the founder of Ethereal Capital. So thank you so much for being with us today, Christopher. If you could just let the guys at home know a bit of background, if you could.
Yes, thank you, Trader Cobb. My name is Christopher Sheetha. I'm the founder of Ethereal Capital. I've been in the blockchain space since late 2013. We started 2013 looking at Bitcoin mining. So this is just after the Mt. Gox incident. So we set up a Bitcoin mining cluster in Iceland with 10 of the old Spondulis Tech SP10 Bitcoin miners, which a lot of people would probably remember fairly fondly, as those guys had some really, really nice equipment. And then we got into Ethereum mining around the middle of 2016, just before the infamous DAO incident. Since 2016, we deployed our own, we basically built and deployed our own GPU mining systems in Iceland initially, and then expanded our operation into Canada and most recently the USA. We've had several years of experience mining both Bitcoin and Ethereum and a few other currencies. And prior to that, I was the Chief Technology Officer and founder of Cloud Central, which is a Australian managed secure infrastructure as a service provider. I started that business back in 2010 and eventually exited the business via a trade sale in March 2017. So I've got a strong infrastructure background as well as a information security background. Yeah, that's a basic introduction.
So you've done quite a bit in this. I mean, you've been in the space for quite some time. You've obviously, reading your CV as such or your sort of LinkedIn profile, you've done a whole lot more than what you've just explained. You've been in the space for 20 years and you've done a huge amount across so many different areas. Now, what I'm interested in is, I mean, with that sort of background, with the amount that you've actually done and obviously getting started, why did you decide that it was a worthwhile endeavor to start mining Bitcoin back in 2013 when it was still relatively rinky-dink, unknown, whatever type thing across most people? Most people had no idea what Bitcoin was, and if you try to explain it to them, myself included from trading back then, I went, it's not really anything for me. So what was it back then for you to have the vision to decide, look, I'm going to use the experience I've got, my background in infrastructure and computing. Why was it then that you decided it would be a worthwhile activity to mine Bitcoin?
So I saw Bitcoin for the first time, and then I was quite enamored with it, I guess. I did a lot of research almost nonstop for 3 to 4 weeks.
That sounds about normal.
going down the crypto rabbit hole, as they say. So, I just saw it as it's an excellent vehicle for taking back control of the economy by people from the incumbent interests.
And you started mining back then when the hash rate was a much different proposition. The price was a much different proposition. I mean, it was a very different world back then. You could mine a lot more Bitcoin for a lot less. Now it's obviously expanded enormously price-wise and use-wise. From where we are now, I mean, look, I spoke to Andrew Kegel of Hut 8 Mining. He's got a big mining operation running there out of Alberta, Canada, I think it was. I think it is. And, he was discussing the difference between, the hash rate and the price. So you used to have that the hash rate would increase and the price would also increase. So it still made it worthwhile for you to mine. What happens going forward if the hash rate continues to increase, i.e. you can't mine as much for the computing power and the price continues to fall? Will mining just die, or will the price recover based on that?
Well, mining won't die. Effectively, the industrial scale miners that have access to the lowest power costs will inevitably be the last one standing. So they'll mine until they effectively reach the marginal cost of production. And everyone else, the home miners will, and they already are, drop out prior to them. So, I think Bitcoin's mineable until 2041 or something. So Bitcoin mining won't die until they change a proof of work algorithm. And considering the resistance to any changes in the Bitcoin core stack, I can't see that happening. Ethereum, on the other hand, as it's slated to transition to proof of stake later in 2019, early 2020, it is obviously going away. So, you know, at that point, you're going to have a lot of GPU miners looking to do something else with their equipment.
And what do you think is the likely outcome of that? I mean, we're seeing the Ethereum price getting a fair bit of a beating this year. I mean, let's be honest, it's probably had the biggest fall from grace as far as the top 10 goes. Actually, I think it's sort of undisputed that it's been the worst performing top 10 cryptocurrency in the space. Now, with that being the case and the mining, you know, coming away from mining for that, do you see that as being somewhat of maybe creating the issue, or do you think miners might already be moving away from it at the moment, moving into other tokens? What's the eventual outcome of that with Ethereum?
So miners are definitely already transitioning to mine other currencies like Ethereum Classic and Monero, for example. And the ones with more expensive electricity are literally either switching their rigs off or switching them off and selling them on the secondary market. So,
and they're very cheap at the moment.
So it's a bit of a liquidation bloodbath, I guess you could call it.
Fire sale,
yeah.
Okay, so look, with that in mind, I mean, look, we are seeing the space evolve. We are seeing the space change. I got a good friend of mine who were here in Sydney. He's talking about the optimizing of mining chips, allowing them to get a lot more out of it, you know, a lot more bang for your buck, which takes away the requirement for cheap power to a certain extent, where it used to be, you know, you have to go to, you know, some foreign country and get cheap electricity or set up shop next to a power plant or own a power plant. What sort of developments are we seeing in that space, and will mining change significantly over the coming years, do you think?
So right now we're seeing the re-emergence of FPGAs in the mining space. So an FPGA is a field programmable gate array, which is effectively a programmable integrated circuit. So you've got GPUs, which are graphics processing units, which are not really optimized to mining. They're optimized to 3D rendering and playing games. Then you've got ASICs, which are application-specific integrated circuits. And they're, as the name implies, specifically designed to be able to do one thing and one thing only. So when you've got a bunch of players like Bitmain, for example, that have been releasing ASICs for algorithms such as Cryptonite, which is used by Monero, and Zcash. But what we're seeing is, you know, the developers and the mining community in general fighting back against those ASICs by changing the proof of work algorithms to effectively block those ASICs from the network. So the ASICs are seen as a force of centralization by the so-called evil mining companies.
Fair enough. The evil mining companies. It's interesting to have a thought about it. It's a Bitmain and Bitfury, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Bicol, Silicon, Bitmain, Bitfury.
So let's cut straight to the chase. I mean, obviously there are different tokens and cryptocurrencies that are better to mine than others, more profitable to mine than others. Is your software and what you're doing, are you exclusively mining any one? I know you said you're Bitcoin and Ethereum. Are you also looking at, you know, changing? Do you have something there that alerts you when it might be better to mine Monero or Ethereum Classic? And can you switch from one to the other relatively easy? Is that how you optimize the mining rigs the best, or what?
You can. So there are sites out there such as whattomine.com, which will you plug in the characteristics of your hardware and it will tell you the most profitable coins to mine. And then there are services such as nicehash.com, where you can point your miners and it will effectively auto-magically direct your hashing power, your processing power, towards the most profitable coins and then pay you out in Bitcoin. So there's those two services.
And is it a day-to-day thing? Like it will do it, so you plug in and it will change, you know, it might go from a Monero to Zcash to Ethereum and then cash out each day, week, month, I suppose you would choose it back into Bitcoin. Is that effectively how it works, or is it a month-by-month thing? Or
So NiceHash does that automatically for you. So you can either use that or you can do it manually, you know, by going to checks, you know, whattomine.com every day and just changing it yourself. I mean, what we do is we're a bit more strategic, and we're not necessarily chasing the highest profits. We're really there to support the networks and blockchains that we value from a.
And what are the blockchains that you value? Like, well, what are the things that you are just simply not going to sell? You're mining to hold.
Yeah, so we mine to hold Bitcoin and Ethereum primarily.
So you're seeing a big future in both Bitcoin and Ethereum, and obviously that I mean, you're mining to support the network. I understand that, but you're also mining to, well, end up with more of each of those and effectively have a long-term gain, I would suspect. I mean, I know you are running a fund as well. So, you know, you do have a perspective beyond just let's just look after the network. I know you are a man who wants to make money at the same time. So Bitcoin and Ethereum are the two tokens that you're mining and holding somewhat permanently.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. So we view those as having the biggest future. So, you know, Bitcoin is the, you know, store of value. And Ethereum is the programmable platform for everything else in the future economy, really.
Yeah, understood. And look, one of the things I wanted to sort of touch on, and it says, I know it was a long time ago, Christopher, but you were involved with the ACT government from, what was it, 2009 to 2012, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. I was a solution architect in the SAS, which is Solution Architecture Services. We always joked that we're in the SAS, bro.
Oh.
Which is part of Shared Services ICT, which is like the shared services provider.
I bet you would have used that back in your single days when you were sort of, what do you do? Well, I work in the government for the SAS. What does that mean? Let's not go into the details. Excellent. My question, though, I mean, it comes around, I mean, obviously, you know, we have another new prime minister in this wonderful sunburnt nation of ours. Scott Morrison's our new PM. Thanks very much for that, everybody in Parliament. I mean, I saw something that made me feel pretty good, actually. It was just the other day. It came out, there was a press conference, and I think somebody within our communities in the crypto space, I saw him actually post a Facebook post about this, but he basically came out and said, look, you know, ask Scott Morrison about cryptocurrencies, the future of banking, that sort of thing. And I was very impressed because Scott Morrison came out, and as you can tell how fresh the Prime Minister is.
Well, they do change a lot, don't they? So, you know.
It's easy to keep up with what tokens to buy than it is with our prime ministers. But look, he came out with a very confident answer. He didn't give a typical political answer, which was blah 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 blah, ho ha, ho, ho, banking. Yes, it's blah, blah, blah. You know, it wasn't a BS answer. He came out with a very confident answer. The takeaway, the key takeaway I took from it was his quotation marks customer power and how blockchain and crypto and what they're pushing through at the moment, you know, he was sort of saying as treasurer and now as prime minister, was about customer power, bringing power back to the people. Now, that is primarily what cryptocurrency and crypto is about. It's about sort of avoiding sidestepping or competing with the, I suppose, you know, how we might say is the powers that be. Have you kept in contact with many people from within Parliament? And do you have any, like, is there anybody there, like, is their opinion that this is a space that's competitive, or is it something that they're still burying their heads in the sand? And I know you might not keep in contact with them, but do you have anything from the halls of Parliament or people down in that area? I mean, you do live in that area.
Yeah, I do live in Canberra. So I've been speaking with one particular fund manager who has been down to Canberra recently and has a political lobbyist working for him as well. And they have been speaking directly with Treasury, and you know, Scott Morrison used to be the treasurer, I guess. So you know, with the view that, you know, in light of the recent Royal Commission, that there does need to be a lot more transparency in the financial industry, and people do need the ability to see what's going on and have more control of their finances. So I think they're definitely aware of all that, and that the blockchain, you know, blockchain enabled finance can help solve some of those challenges.
Well, there's no doubt they can't deny it any longer. I mean, look, at the end of the day, politics is it's about votes. Their equity, their brand is votes. Without votes, you have no equity, you have no brand. Now, it's very difficult for them to cozy up too much to the banks now, because the banks, and I say the banks, the big four for the most part, because they're the ones that are under the scrutiny at the moment, have been basically running a monopoly and a bit of a syndicate, a bit of a cartel. They've been called out, they've been found out, and there's not many days in the Australian press now that you can open the newspaper and there's not some form of grilling from one of the top four. So the Australian public is very aware now of what has been going on, what is going on. And, you know, a lot of people say ignorance is bliss. There was a lot of happy people out there with their heads in the sand. Now they know. Now it's a powerful political tool for the politicians. And that customer power, as Mr. Scott Morrison puts it, is definitely an angle for votes for them. So it's interesting to see how he answered. It's interesting to see how the former treasurer, now prime minister, is talking about customer power, because we know that crypto, we know that blockchain can start to bring that power back. And he also talked about innovative new technology to help this. And it was a very positive answer. I found it to be very positive. So, look, I want to wrap it up, Christopher, with one more thing. You're currently got your head across lots of different things. We covered the mining aspect of ethereal capital. Do you want to tell us a little bit, because we spoke prior to this, to recording, it's more than just Bitcoin mining. Do you want to tell us a bit more about what you do within ethereal capital? Because just so everyone's got an understanding of the wide range of offers that you have.
Yeah, so in ethereal capital, we really have three separate businesses. So we've got the HAL blockchain high-performance cloud. So it's effectively our processing assets, GPUs, FPGAs, currently predominantly mining cryptocurrencies, but in the future we'll be taking on things like 3D rendering jobs, AI jobs, big data processing, etc. And then we've got two other businesses. One's called Black Box HPC, so it's our high performance computing systems business. So we've designed, manufactured, and patented a high performance computing server that's got up to 16 GPUs or FPGAs in a single box that we, you know, use internally in our HAL operation and sell to customers. So we just started selling those to customers in July. And since July, we've sold over $1 million worth of those systems. And we've got another business called Monolith HPC, which is a data center venture that we're in the process of setting up in New Zealand to be powered 100% renewable energy. So our next site for HAL, will be expanding into that into that data center by Monolith, and also opening up that space to other high performance computing customers and blockchain customers that want to locate their hardware in there as well.
Well, so you've got your hands across many different areas. Now, I mean, I guess the final thing is to really, you know, for people that want to find out more about yourself and Ethereal Capital, where would they find that out, Christopher?
So we've got a few sites. So we've got actually, I did forget a couple of things that we're doing. We've also got a managed diversified crypto fund called the Ethereal Capital Blockchain Infrastructure Index. So that's on the Iconomy Digital Asset Management Platform. You can find that by searching for Iconomy and BIF, which is the ticker code for that fund. So it's effectively a long fund that invests in various. It has a diversified crypto portfolio: Ethereum, Bitcoin, Monero, 0x, and a whole bunch of others. And then we have another product called the Hashbox T800, which is a password recovery system for law enforcement, intelligence agencies, information security penetration testers, etc. So the website, so ethereal.capital is our primary site. Blackbox.cat is our e-commerce store for our high-performance computing systems. Monolith.city is our site for our data center hosting business. And Iconomy is where our fund is run off, so economy.net.
All right, so plenty going on in the brain of Christopher Sheather. Mate, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show. So the guys and girls out there listening, Christopher Sheather, KRISTOFFER, Sheather, SHEATHER. You can find him on LinkedIn with links to everything that you need to know about Ethereal Capital, what they're doing, and also just thoughts and opinions. So hopefully everyone gets across and follows you, because there's a whole bunch of information that you put out there across Twitter and all your other socials. Thank you so much for giving us your opinion and thoughts on the space of cryptocurrency. It's been an interesting conversation, as it's been a different perspective. And as always, we want to know what's going on in the minds of everybody in the space. So thanks very much for your time, mate.
Pleasure, and thank you for having me.
No worries. All right, guys, have a fantastic day. Bye for now.
The Trader Cobb Crypto Podcast. Check out tradercobb.com, because experience matters.